Now we're going to continue in the Gospel of Matthew. We're going through every verse and we're going through every chapter. And so we find ourselves in a passage of Scripture that is known popularly as the Lord's Prayer. We're calling it the Disciples' Prayer or the Model Prayer. And as we're going through this prayer, I can confess to you, confession, true confession time, here it is, that I have mumbled through this model of a prayer many times in my life. Just mumbled through it. In other words, I wasn't, my mind and my heart weren't engaged as I was saying the words. And it's as disrespectful to God, it's even more so, but it's disrespectful as if you were talking to someone else and you were just reading off of a script, but you weren't even doing a good job at it. How much more to the true and living God who created everything, including you and I? He deserves better than that. And so it's important for us to understand why we've been given this model to pray so that we can come up with our own personal prayer. So the title of this morning's message is God Knows Your Need. And we're going to take a look at this model prayer in just a moment. But won't you agree with me in prayer as we start? Father, I thank you that you've brought us here. I thank you, Lord, for... I just thank you for this crazy group of people that I just love so much and that you love more than I can imagine. I thank you for how, I don't even know the word, Lord, what a unique blend of people it is. Only you can do something like this. God, I thank you then that only you can have your word be taught and it impact every person that would listen. We have such different situations and backgrounds, histories. How can one passage of Scripture speak to anyone that would want to listen? God, the task before me is not difficult, it's impossible. So I ask the one person who can do the impossible. God, would you do what you do best this morning? Would you allow people to hear your heart and know who you are? Would you allow them to know that you are the answer to their question? God, we thank you so much that you do the impossible. And you're going to do it again today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this model prayer, let's review it. We didn't go through the whole thing. We've only gone through part of it so far, just a couple, three verses. But let's look at it up here on the screen. So it's found in Matthew chapter 6. That's where we find ourselves this morning. And verses 9 through 10 say this: Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then if we look at that passage of Scripture right there, that is kind of formal to me. To me personally, it's a bit formal. I don't necessarily talk in those words exactly. So what you're supposed to do is take this model prayer and make it your own. So we've been kind of making our own off of this model here. And let's just exchange these words with something a bit more a bit more today. And this is the impact that it had when Jesus was sharing it. Daddy, who created everything, make yourself famous. Your kingdom come, my kingdom go. I want what you want on earth like it is in heaven. There's one example of how you take a model of a prayer and you make it your own. Now, you may not use those words. For you, daddy is not a word that you would want to use. Maybe you'd say papa or abba or father, maybe just as intimate for you. Make it yours. That was the whole point of Jesus teaching his disciples. And please don't limit it to just a few words. If you're just like, daddy, and then you're just overwhelmed that he loves you, then you just keep talking to him and you just stay on that point. And when do you stop and move on? When you're done. Don't let prayer be this regimented thing where you are locked in a box of your own making. It's a conversation. Some conversations go longer than you expected. Let it. Don't let it stop early. Talk to your Father. So we see here that, you know, looking at this prayer here, we see a few things. If we can go back one screen to what we see in the ESV version there, I want you to see something. The very top line is who we're talking to. He's your Father who is in heaven, which is not to say that he's contained by heaven as if heaven surrounds him. He created heaven. He's bigger than heaven. He's bigger than the universe. The universe can't hold him. He holds it. So The first line is remembering who we're talking to when we pray, which should affect how we pray. Like, oh wait, I'm not just talking to somebody like me. I'm talking to somebody who's other than me. And then we make some petitions to God. And in the model prayer, there's a few petitions. The first petition is, hallowed be your name. In other words, God, that your name would be holy, that you would be famous. God, that you would make yourself famous. That's one petition. Here's another petition in the next line down. Your kingdom come, which by implication means my kingdom goes. We all have our own kingdoms. We all have our own things that we want to do and establish. But the thing is, if we say, God, your kingdom come, it means mine has to go. You can't have two kingdoms. It's not going to work. And so the second petition is, God, your kingdom here. And then the third petition we see so far is, your will be done. And we paraphrase that as, God, I want what you want. I want whatever your heart is. So there's three petitions so far. Holy be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Which now leads us to today's verse. Today we are going to be in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 11. I think we've got that. And sorry for the contrast, it's yellow is a bad color for that background, but here it is. Give us this day our daily bread, and then next week we'll look at, and forgive us our trespasses and forgive those who trespass against us. So give us this day our daily bread is the fourth petition. And I think it's very interesting. This isn't where the prayer started. It wasn't, okay, God, I really need. I think it's interesting because we can sometimes put this thing that's fourth on the list as number one, and not just occasionally, but very often. As if we come to God often, and the first thing we do is, God, I need. It'd be like a parent whose child comes to them, and all they come to you for is when they need something from you. Some of you may be experiencing that. And that's quite different from maybe when they were younger, when they would just come, and it's like, what's going on, bud? Nothing. Just hanging. Oh, that's cool. Just hanging out. Hey, can we wrestle? Yeah, we could wrestle. Yes, we'll do WrestleMania right here on the couch. This would be awesome. But then maybe there's a shift that happens where it's like, hey, so I need. And it doesn't even address. It's not like, hey, dad or hey, mom. It's just, I need. Now, it's not that you don't love your child, but it means something when they come to you and you're just not a dispenser for them, right? What do you want? Keys? Here. Money? Here. What do you like, you know? Isn't it great when they just come, it's like, what are you doing? Oh, I just wanted to hang out with you. Oh, right? You're just like, you know, God wants that from you. He's never going to force you. Never going to force you. But that's what He desires. Just for you to recognize who He is. And sometimes it's just, some of your prayers may just be this. How cool is this kind of prayer? Hey, Dad, so, I don't need anything. I just want to tell you I love you. That's a prayer. And you didn't actually request anything. You just were telling Him how much you loved Him. You can do that. You should do that. So today we find ourselves, though, in that fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. It's okay to ask God for things. There's a balance in there. It's okay to. But we do see where it is in the order of things. Give us this day our daily bread. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about provision. God providing for us. And some of you, you know, you looked at the bulletin or you're looking at the screen, and you're like, oh no, no, I'm a gluten free. Like I'm not, like I don't do bread. Bread's not what I do. I get, okay, right. But what we're talking about today is the bread that God provides us. And so we're going to take that verse and we're going to look at different words in it. And you're probably like, there's like seven words in it. How, what? Yes, but we're somehow going to come up with 5 points or 4 points. It's going to be awesome. So here we go. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily. I looked that word up. And what you do is you look in the original language. If we look in English, you'll see versions of the Bible that say daily bread. The ESV says daily bread. And other versions say daily bread. But when you look at that word, the word that's in there, it's a Greek word. You look at the original language and you look at the Greek word epiosios. Epiosios is the word that's used for daily. Epiosios. Okay, great. What you do at that point is you look for that Greek word in other parts of the Bible. And you see if maybe they used a different English word, and then you can get a better idea of the fullness of the word. Because Greek is a very rich language, much richer than English. So, epiosio, great, we'll just find it where it is in other places in the Bible. Only problem, it's only in one other verse in the Bible. It's a word that only shows up twice in the Bible. And the other verse that it shows up in is in Luke chapter 11, and it's when Luke talks about Jesus telling the disciples about the model prayer. So it's basically the same context. What does epiosio mean? So it's, you can look at other forms of the word and kind of infer what its meaning might be. So epiosios, there's only two of them, so let's look at epiosia. It's pretty close. It's got the same root. Epiosia, what does it mean? It means the upcoming day and the upcoming night. Which helps you understand where you might get that idea of daily bread. I'm praying for the next 24 hours. How many of us, we're not thinking about daily bread. We're thinking about, Jesus, I need weekly bread. I need monthly, I need like decade bread right now. Because I've got this little one. And they're going to be 18 soon. And you're stressing out about who they're going to marry and, you know, their boyfriend that you're going to have to like. And they're just a baby. But yet you have like, you got like decade bread. You're like, God, I need decade bread. I need bread today for an issue that may happen in 20 years. Are you getting anxious about something that's beyond your 24 hours? Doesn't today have enough concern for itself? See, there's a situation that's happening right now. There's a man named Mike Wolf who he comes to our fellowship, and we love Mike, and he had to go down to San Francisco for some testing. And even right now, today, at this time here, he's probably going under some pretty intense things. I have a couple things going on in my life, but nothing super pertinent to right now at this moment. So how about we just take a moment and we pray for Mike Wolf right now, because it's for right today. Father, we come before you. Papa, we pray for our brother Mike, who loves you and cares about you and realizes that you care for him. We pray that where Mike is at the hospital in San Francisco, we pray that he would feel an overwhelming measure of your presence. And God, we pray that he would have the peace that only you can give to us. Fill him, encourage him, give doctors your wisdom and direction. And we lift up our brother and thank you for him. In Jesus' name, amen. Think about the things in your life in the next 24 hours. Start there. But I know we can jump that, right? Yeah, but you don't understand. Like, there's only like 6 weeks, 5.5 weeks of college left. And I've got to... Okay, right. But there's something today. And then when you get to tomorrow, there's going to be something tomorrow, and then tomorrow will be today, and then you deal with that. But then we worry and we say, but we've got to be responsible and plan out. No doubt. I get it. It's okay to make plans, but we're never called to worry ahead of time. Never. Nowhere in the Bible does God say, you know what? You do have a bunch of stuff up ahead, and I'm not really sure if I can handle it, so you better worry. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. In fact, God tells us what level of anxiousness we should have. You know what the level is? None. That is the level of anxiousness we're supposed to have. Well, if I'm not anxious, who's going to take care of it? Oh, Daddy. I'm not saying you shouldn't plan, but please, you know yourself. Are you a person that worries ahead of time about things that may never happen? Historically, you look at your life and you think of the countless hours and sleepless nights and ulcers and anxiety over things that you had no control over. And when you look back, the fears never actually happened. You know what you did? You wasted time. God wants to save you the precious time we have here on this planet. And so he's going to do something. Here's the deal. He'll take care of you every day. Okay, great. How is he going to provide for me? One day at a time. One day at a time. What about tomorrow? Tomorrow will become a today, and he'll take care of that day. What about 10 years from now? What about that boyfriend? What about that will become a today, and he'll take care of that today. But we're not going to talk about that today because we're at this today. So how is your today? Most scholars would translate that word for daily bread. They would translate it as, give us this day our necessary bread. Our necessary bread. The things that we need. The things we need to survive. The things we need to continue to live and breathe on this world. And so I want you to know this about this prayer. This is not a prayer where God just is going to give you whatever you ask Him for. This is a prayer where you say, God, can you please take care of the things that you know that I need? God will always take care of your needs. I heard it said this way, this prayer is for our needs, not for our greed. It's for my need, not for my greed. God, I got a truck, but it's like 15 years old. And I just think that, I mean, God, don't I deserve something a little newer? You know what, I just became discontent with something God has already taken care of in my life. Because I live in a world that operates on discontentment. I wasn't in formal advertising, but I was definitely involved in the advertising realm of things. And so I would look at advertisements with a critical eye. And here's the thing you need to understand about advertisements. Advertisements overwhelmingly are designed to make you discontent. Because no advertisement is, hey, guess what? We have a new phone, but the one you have is awesome. So please don't buy our phone. Have an awesome day. No. Here's how it comes along. Oh, my 5-month-old phone is slow. No way, Junior. You know what? We have the new one. You can throw your dumb phone away because you got a shiny one. Advertising overwhelmingly is built on that you are missing out. You should have better. You deserve better, and you should go get it. And you should get rid of that junk that you have. What if the junk that you have is the blessing that God gave you? Wow, who are we to call it junk? It's a treasure. It's a gift. See, here's the thing. This idea of, Lord, is there a balance with our needs? Like, I don't want to find myself with too much or too little. You know what? It's great because the book of Proverbs actually speaks to that. Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9. Look at this. First, help me never tell a lie, as the person who's writing the proverb says. And then it says, second, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. For if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, who is the Lord? And if I'm too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name. It's a good prayer to pray, God, can you please just give me just enough? Because really, when you have just enough, it's enough. We live in a world where it's a bottomless stomach of appetite, and it never will end. You'll get the newest, latest, greatest, and the same company that just sold you the last thing will be like, that thing's old already. I haven't even opened it up yet. Yeah, but it's already old. You're a loser for getting that. You should get the new thing. And like lemmings, there's a world of people that are like, I guess I should. Be aware that God is providing for your needs. And you should pray, God, just give me enough. And you know what God will do? Here's the promise. God will always give you enough. He'll always give you enough. Which leads us to this moment right now. If there's something in your life that you think you need but you don't have right now, guess what? You don't need it right now. Because if you did, God would provide it for you. Think about it. God takes care of our needs. If you don't need it at this moment, He's not going to provide it for you. God, I need a new job because I can't stand this one. And if God's not providing it, guess what? God's like, no, you don't need another job. You need to be more diligent in the one that I've given you because I've given you a gift. Oh. God, I feel so lonely. I need a spouse. If you don't have one right now, guess what? You don't need one. You know what you need? You need the Lord. Because if the Lord is not enough for you when you're single, He'll never be the person you go to when you're married. See, think about, take inventory of your life right now. Whatever you don't have at this moment, you don't need right now. God may give it to you in the future, and praise the Lord for that if He does, and praise the Lord if He doesn't, because He knows what we need. Which takes me to a point where I realize that I don't actually know what I need. Because there's times where I'm like, I'm pretty sure I need this. And God's like, no, you don't. No. No. And then there's times where I'm like, what is this? And God's like, you need that. There was a time There's a time where the Lord just knew that this guy was like, you need a helpmate. And so the day was the right day, the year was the right year, it was the right moment, and Don and I walked down the aisle, and I was like, wow, and God's like, you need it. Trust me, man, you need it. Like, you need some serious help. Here's your wife. So God will give you stuff you don't even realize, and he'll not give you stuff that you think you need that you don't. So even in all the stuff that we get, our daily bread, what's the goal of it? Well, the goal of it's obvious, Jim. The goal is it's for me. Actually, no. Nope, your daily bread isn't even for you. I don't get it. Ultimately, anything God gives you and I, it's designed to glorify him. If you have health, then your health is a gift of God for myself so that I can go do stuff for my... No. You can, but that's not its primary purpose. If you have health, then your health is primarily designed to glorify God. Huh. If you have a vehicle and you find yourself driving and you're like, I've got a couple extra seats. Do you know there's people that need rides to church? No, but it's my car. It's my car. I just detailed it. It's mine. No, it's God's. He's letting you borrow it for a short amount of time. Oh, so I'm supposed to glorify God with even my vehicle? Yeah. That seems so practical. Yeah, our God is actually really practical. You're in line and you see somebody who is clearly and obviously fumbling through their wallet or purse, and you can tell that they're struggling to find enough to pay for what they have. And you know that you have more than enough in your purse or your wallet. I wonder what you're supposed to do. Pay for what they have. You know why? Because it'll glorify God. Everything we have that has been given by God is designed to glorify him. Which, if we look at it that way, I think it changes the way we look at all that God has given to us. My goal, our goal, should be to glorify God. We live in a world where people are told, and this sounds good on the surface, so please hear this out before you go, we're told that your goal of your life should be to enjoy your life. You should just enjoy your life. Okay, I want us to critically think about that statement. The goal of your life, if it's to enjoy your life, then you will do things that bring enjoyment to yourself. Great. Go on vacations, buy nice things, have great experiences. In and of itself, is there anything wrong with that? No, except this. If that's the goal of your life, the pinnacle thing of your life, then everything in your life will fall under making sure that you enjoy life. Oh, well, there's this hard responsibility. I'm not going to enjoy it. I'm not going to do it. Because my goal in life is to enjoy my life. If we make the goal of our life rather to glorify God, then you know what? A bunch of things fall into line underneath it. And we actually find true enjoyment as we glorify God. Because here's the thing. If we make enjoying our life the goal of our life, then who are we really worshiping and serving? Ourself. It sounds so awesome on the surface until you go, wait, who is the person that's me? I've made my whole life about making sure that I feel great. You know, sometimes you do what's right and it feels really, really rough. It doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means it's a hard thing. That's why we make glorifying God the primary thing in our life, so that even when the hard things come, we go, no, nope, I'm going to do this because it's going to glorify God. Amen is right. So this world system is always going to tell you that you can have a better car, a better house, you can go to a better school, you can have more achievements, you can have a better retirement, the retirement that you have, you know, you should be doing more in your retirement. The world will also tell you, you know what, you can get a better spouse, the one you've got right now. That's the world we live in. It's the world we live in. Oh, we're lovingly separating. Shut up. Like, no, 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 no. Nothing loving about separating, divorcing. There's nothing loving about that. And does it happen in our world? Yes, because there's a world mentality of you just got to enjoy your life. So you do whatever it takes to make sure number one gets taken care of. Oh, and by the way, number one's not God. And so that what ends up is you end up with people who find themselves trapped on this device. And I think we've got a picture of it here. If we could bring it up. Yeah, that's human-sized. How many people in our world are on a human-sized hamster wheel? And they're just on it going, all right, gotta do something. And the interesting thing about a hamster wheel is it actually looks like a ladder from the inside. I'm climbing the ladder. Oh, look at me. I'm going. I'm doing stuff. Whew, there's movement happening in my life. I feel it. I'm going faster. Things are going faster and faster and faster. The thing is, there's no progress actually happening. And some of you may understand what that is because you were trapped on the hamster wheel of this life. You were told, oh, one more thing, oh, one more thing, oh, one more thing, oh, one more thing. And then you're like, I've seen this rung before. It's like I've seen, where did that, that's weird. There's it again. There, huh, whoa. And so you're using a lot of energy and you're going nowhere. I want to show you a video here. There's no sound to it, but I want to show you this video because this is what happens eventually. Eventually this will happen, and some of you experience this in life. Slow motion. No. Into the puddle of water on the ground. I feel for that guy. Done it. Done it. Done the, I'm going to do it, and I don't know, somebody said this was the thing that was important. Somebody said it. It's going a little too fast for me. I can't keep, then you realize I can't keep this up. I can't keep up the appearances. I can't, oh no, it's going a little, it's going, splat. I would encourage you, get off the wheel. Consider, do inventory in your life and ask yourself, what is your goal in life and why is that your goal? Oh, well, my goal is God. Okay. That all sounds great in church because we're here, right? Okay. Here's how you figure out what your goal is. It's what you think about. It's what you put your heart into. It's what you put your finances, your time, your attention, your hopes, and your dreams. Whatever that is in your life, that's what you're worshiping. And only God will satisfy. Everything else will disappoint like that. And so God giving us our necessity daily, He gives us the necessities that we need. He wants you to be content with the life He's given you. That you can actually look at your life and go, I've got everything I need. How are you doing? I'm good. The world will come at you and go, you need more. And you go, nope, I got everything I need. I got Jesus. And you know what? He gives me other stuff beyond just Him. Him would be just fine. But He gives me other things too. I'm totally good. I think every Christian should come to the realization, this one included, that they have every one of their needs taken care of and they need not worry. God is trying to free you and I up from worrying about tomorrow. Why? Because He has it. And when tomorrow becomes today, we ask Him for it and He'll take care of that too. You should make plans, but don't be anxious about future plans. I want to show you a few verses, and then there's a very popular verse that gets quoted, and I want to show you how it all fits in. It's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, and it's on the screen here. Now, I'm not speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I'm in to be content. I know how to be brought low, you're humbled, kind of in a time of need in your life. I know how to abound, have extra in your life. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret, learned, wasn't born with it. You had to learn it. I learned the secret of facing plenty because it takes a lot. If you have a lot in your life, that's a blessing, but you need to learn how to deal with a lot. And hunger. If you don't have a whole lot, you need to learn how to deal with not a whole lot. Abundance and need. You're not just born with this knowledge. You need to learn how to handle having a lot. Some people are cursed with a lot of things. And those possessions of them possess, the possessions are possessing the person now. I've got to take care of all my stuff. I've got sheds and other locations and other things that have all my, and they don't realize that they're trapped by their own possessions. Sometimes when you have an abundance, you suddenly come to the realization, the light bulb moment where you go, oh wait, all of this is not for me. Yeah. That's why you've been given way more than you need. What is it for then? It's for others. Oh, that makes more sense. Because I can't possibly manage this. Managing all my stuff is driving me crazy. That was never God's plan. He chooses to give more to some people at certain parts in their life so that, why? So that they can be generous to others in need. And we have to also learn the secret of dealing with hunger or need. Because we're all going to find ourselves in a time of need in our life, and we have to find ourselves with humility going, God, I'm going to ask for, here it is, here's the word. Oh, it's so un-American. Help. You know, sometimes God will bring you to a point of need because he wants you to ask for help. That's the whole lesson. That is the whole lesson. The lesson is, you are so prideful, I am so prideful that I don't want to ask for help. How are you? I'm fine. We'll say that until the plane crashes into the ground. I'm fine. Everything's great. Right? You don't look fine. We're in the wreckage. I'm fine. You're not fine. Know this, that God will sometimes bring need into your life because he wants to develop humility in your life. And you, that won't get developed when you have plenty. It gets developed. You have a chance to exercise it when you have need. Okay, so we looked at these verses. This is great. Paul is telling us that he has learned with the Lord how to deal with a lot and to deal with a little. Now, here's that verse that gets quoted a lot. Next verse, in the next part of Philippians. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And this verse gets used a lot. But the part that drives me crazy is when people decide to, they think the Bible, well, the Bible can be offensive to some people because it talks about Jesus. It talks about us having to humble ourselves before a God that loves us. And so sometimes the way I see this verse is, I can do all things, dot, dot, dot. And it drives me crazy because you miss the whole point of the verse. The whole point of the verse is through Christ who strengthens me. It has nothing to do with me. And when it's taken in its short form, it's a lie. If you cut that verse in half, it's a lie. I can do all things. No, you can't. No, you can't. There's a danger with taking the scriptures out of context. And not only that, so let's add the whole verse. I can do all things through Christ, which means he's the one guiding me, not me. And who's the one that gives me the strength to do the things? He does. So he'll only give me the strength to do the things he wants me to do. See, it's not him being my genie and I go, I can do all things. I want this. So the Bible says I can do all things. Read the rest of the verse, please. And better than that, read the two verses that Paul wrote before that where he says, I've got a lot and I've learned to deal with a lot, and I have a little and I've learned to deal with a little. I'm content. And from a heart of contentment, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God wants us to be the most contented people on the planet because we have a dad who takes care of all of our needs. And that's the position of strength that we come from. It's his strength, not our strength. Okay. Wow, pastors need to speed this thing up here. Okay, so give us this day our necessary or daily bread, right? Give. Give seems really obvious, really clear, but we need to understand this. Who is ultimately giving you anything good in your life? Who is that? Who gives us anything? God. God gives us everything. We live in a society that tells us, I worked hard, and I'm not going to doubt that you work hard. If you work hard, I'm not going to doubt you work hard. But who gave you the ability to work hard? Let's backtrack this thing. God. Who gave you the breath in your lung? God. Who gave you the intelligence to figure things out? God. So who gets the glory? God. And so we have to remember who gives us everything we have. It's God. And we should thank him and have such grateful hearts for all the things that we have. There's a very poetic song in Psalms, and it's about God and how he gives us things that man can't give. Here it is in Psalms 65, verse 9 through 13. This is poetic. Talking about God, you visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain. Who provides their grain? You provide their grain. So for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers. Just talking about how God just puts water on the landscape, blessing its growth. Oh, God can do a lot of stuff that we can't do. I can't make it rain. Human beings can't make it rain. We are so advanced. Okay, great, make it rain. Can't do that yet. Yeah, because God can. But it doesn't even stop here. This beautiful song has more lyrics to it, and it goes on and it says this in the next verse. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. We must realize that this is our dad. This is the guy who is taking care of all of your needs. If he can take care of making it rain or making it not rain, he's the one that controls any good thing in our life, then we should thank him for every good thing that he has given. There is a poem by a man named M.B. Babcock. M.B. Babcock wrote the classic hymn, "This is My Father's World," which is also a beautiful song about the creation and all that God has done. But M.D. Babcock wrote this poem, and it talks about the bread that we have, and he takes it, he backtracks, and he tries to tell us where it comes from. Back of the bread is the snowy flour, and the back of the flour, the mill. And the back of the mill is the wheat and the shower, and the son and the father's will. You backtrack far enough, and you get to the Father. Every good thing we have is from God. And we should be so grateful when we pray to him. And when you go, maybe you're complaining about how little you have, but when you go back to your home or apartment or where you're at, or you sit in your car and you're like, dumb turn signal thing doesn't work, you know what, maybe when you have a heart of contentment, this is what you notice. Thank you for my car that works half the time, God. It's so awesome. You would bless me with 50% of a car. That's amazing. That's the heart of gratitude we should have. You should look at all the things you have that maybe before you're like, I can't wait to get rid of that junk or that thing, or I can't wait to upgrade that or get a new this, just to look at it and go, I have been ridiculously blessed by a Father who cares for me. I'm sorry, God, I never thanked you for this. I never thanked you for this. I never thanked you for my health. I never thanked you for the knowledge you've given. God, thank you. We should be thankful people. And here's why. Because if we're not, we'll go the way of the world. What is the way of the world? Deuteronomy 8, 12 through 14. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and you live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied. Wow, this person's doing good. Like, life's, looking good for them. What's going to happen to this person? Then your heart will be lifted up. That's not a good thing. That's pride. And you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. I pray that God never curses us with so much stuff that we forget him. Did you hear the wording that I used there? I pray that none of us would be cursed with so much stuff that we forget God. Because if you have so much stuff that you've forgotten God, then the stuff you have is not helping you. We all need to do inventory in our life. So it goes on here. Give us this day our daily bread, right? I like this. We talked about this early on, so I'll only touch on this very quickly. Notice that the nouns there, the pronouns there are plural. Give us this day our daily bread. So you have a need. God, I need. You know how you should pray? Use the model here. God, there are lots of people in this world that are probably in the same place I am. So God, on their behalf, as well as for me, I want to pray for all of us. God, would you please take care of us? And see, when you pray with a plural pronoun, when you say us and our, when you pray for other people in your similar situation, all of a sudden your world isn't just about you. You've now invited other people into your prayer and you're lifting them up. So when you see answers in their life, you can go, oh, I'm so glad. God, my dad's answering prayers. And not only that, you can pray for other people that are in similar situations as you. Here's why. Because you understand what they're going through. Because you're going through it. So why not, like, make the most out of your prayer? Don't just pray for you. Pray for everybody that's in that situation. Lift them all up. We should have compassionate hearts. We should care about other people that are in need. And I want to tell you this, not only should we care about other people and pray for them, church, it is our responsibility to take care of other people in need. No, it is the U.S. government's responsibility. No, it is not. No, it is not. No, you know who God put on this planet to take care of the needs of other people? His kids. We are supposed to be the greatest part of a system of making sure the welfare of other people is taken care of. You know who's supposed to take care of that? God's people. No, but if I do that, then it's going to infringe on my stuff. See how... our stuff is not our stuff. It's God's stuff. And if God has given you an abundance, it's so that it could be as a blessing to other people. Some people may just... it sounds communistic. No, it sounds Christian. In the early church, when there was need in the early church, those who had in abundance, they would give. and those in need would be taken care of. Widows were taken care of in the church. There were so many needs. And not only that, you know how well the needs were taken care of? The needs were taken care of so well that they had to be like, stop, we're good. You guys are giving too much. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine that? Where so much is given that, listen, guys, love you, but stop giving. Because we have no place else to give it. Wow, is it possible? If God's people fall in line with God's will, amazing things happen to the world around them. And I say, how about we start with Humboldt County? How about we start with Humboldt County? There are plenty of needs here. There are people that have physical needs, emotional needs. I see a poverty of relationships in our community. Relationships? Yeah, friends. Well, I have plenty of friends. Okay, here's a definition of a friend. A friend is somebody that can tell you you're an idiot, and you'll let them, and you'll actually listen to them. And you'll let them say that to you repeatedly if you actually are an idiot. So the question then is, how many of those people are in your life that you allow, you open the door wide, and you let them come in? And here's what I've noticed. I've noticed there's a poverty of friends. And so I see a community that looks for people who are just going to be real and be like, hey, I'm as messed up as you are. And we're willing to live life alongside of others, and we're letting them watch us follow Jesus. We're not trying to pressure them. We're not trying to force it down their throat. We're just going to let our light shine. And you can't help it because Christ is in you. So you're just going to let your light shine. If you see somebody in need, though, here's what you should do. No, I'm not going to say it. I'm going to let the Word say it. James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food. In other words, if you hear about somebody and you just kind of are looking, you're like, God, I think you've given me enough wisdom to see that insight that they're in need physically. Then what are you supposed to do? And one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body? What good is that? Hey, listen, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you that you'll find some food. What? No! We talk about praying and saying, God, please provide, give us our bread daily, right? Our necessary bread. How do you think God provides daily bread? He uses people to provide it. It's not like the Old Testament where people are going to open the doors of their houses in Humboldt County and there's just going to be bread on their doorstep. But you know what may happen? There may be bread on their doorstep and other groceries. How? Because a Christian noticed that they were in need and got food and put it on their doorstep so that they had manna in the morning when they opened their door. God works in really practical ways. You don't have to over-spiritualize it. If you see somebody in need and you've been given excess, don't be stingy because it wasn't yours to begin with. If we don't do it, who is going to do it? And the last thing I want to talk about is bread. And I promise you I'm going to keep this short, but it's important. 40 years in the wilderness, God provided for the children of Israel every day. Every day. And on, He gave them a day of rest, though. So there would be bread 6 days a week. Was God stingy? Did He cut out a day? No. No, He was generous on a day. Overly generous. You know what He did? He did double the amount, or they were able to gather double the amount on one of the days. Why? Because God wanted them to have enough so that they could have a day of rest. And in our American society, I want to tell you this. It's okay for you to have a day of rest. It's okay for you to have a day of rest because God designed it that way. God didn't design it so that you would work yourself to the bone. And so here's what sometimes happens. Well, I'm under so much debt and I have so much stuff to pay and do. There's a couple options here. I get it. I understand we can be in certain points in our life where we're like, I just have to work so I can pay these bills. But if we're going to be honest with ourselves, haven't we gotten ourselves into some of these situations unnecessarily? And aren't we continually doing the American thing? What's the American thing? To spend a little bit more than we have. I guarantee you, you will work yourself crazy if you spend more than you have. What you should do is you should spend what you need. And then you'll realize that what you've been given, you're going to have an excess. Because you're no longer spending to your greeds and your lust. You're just spending according to your needs. And then you go, look at this, there's an extra left over. I wonder what that's for. Oh. It's not complicated. God took care of the Israelites and provided double the amount for them so that they could have a day of rest. God wants you to have a day of rest. Why? I get it, because a day of rest is for me. No. Not primarily. The day of rest is so that you can have freedom to spend time with Him. In what? In the creation that He made. We live in a beautiful place. You can go on the beach. You can go on a walk on the beach with God. Where you can just talk and go, God, wow, it's been a lot. Last week, we've been talking during the week, but thank you for giving me enough, God, that I can have a day off where I don't have to work today, that I can just spend it with you and talk with you. That I can go spend it with other believers and other non-believers and just share the love of Christ. God, thank you for the redwood forest that we live in, that I can, God, thank you. You've given me enough that I can enjoy the life you've given me. Wait a second, I glorify God and I can enjoy life. Yeah, now you got the order right. Now you got the order right. God wants to take care of every one of our needs. And so, every day God wants to show you things. He wants to give you bread. Is it always going to be physical? Oh no, sometimes it's way more important than physical. What do you mean? Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Every what? Every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So if you take time every morning to meet with the Lord, you'll get to experience His mercy. And guess what? We all need mercy. And when you are shown mercy, here's what you do with mercy. You take it. You take it. I don't deserve it. Exactly. That's why it's called mercy. Just take it. And so you start out your day not beating yourself up, going, I'm a horrible person. And no, you start out your day going, God is merciful to me. You know what? I think I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me today. Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. You're getting the order right now. I take us to... I want to take you to a quote by Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary, inland China missions, and Hudson Taylor said this, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supplies. It's just that sometimes I want to do things my way. I want to do, Jim wants to do Jim's work Jim's way. And then Jim wonders why it doesn't have any supply. Or I want to do God's work. Good, we're starting out good, right? I want to do God's work Jim's way. And I'm wondering why I'm not getting God's supply. It's not until I do God's work God's way that I see the supply of God. So are you fighting God a little bit on what He wants to do in your life or the way He wants to do it? I would encourage you. Let Him do it His way, and you will see His supply come. The last verse I leave you with, it's on the screen. Jesus and Satan. Satan comes before Jesus and says, the tempter came and said to Him, Jesus had been fasting, by the way, for 40 days now, and he's 100% human, so He's hungry. If you are the Son of God, Satan says to Jesus, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And what does Jesus do? He quotes the Old Testament, Deuteronomy. And he answered, Jesus answered Satan, and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. What's more important than physical bread? But by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Church, you should be feasting on this. This is an endless supply of spiritual bread that will feed your spirit. I know that you can come on a Sunday and we hear the worship and we have the fellowship and you get the teaching of the Word of God and you can leave and feel spiritually like, oh, I feel so good. God is good. He's so good to me. And then Monday comes and you're like, oh, I'm worried about 2 months from now. You've already forgotten. Amnesia has kicked in less than 24 hours later. You went from, He's so good, to Monday morning going, where is He? He didn't go anywhere. And God's like, hey, I've got a pantry, and if you open it, and if you read it, you can have that same full Sunday morning feeling because you're eating it and your spirit is getting nurtured. But here's the problem that can happen. As Christians, we can get into the habit where we only eat once a week. And I have to tell you, if you ate physical food that way, you would be in a dire situation. You would be hangry, you would be irritable, You would be a bear to be around. You would have a hard time keeping your thoughts together. In other words, you would not be the most pleasant person to be around. Okay, now let's take something far more important. What happens when you're spiritually malnourished? You spiritually can't see where the Lord is. You have a hard time hearing His voice. You don't know what He's doing. You begin to question Him. You're irritable, and you're generally a challenge to be around. I want to encourage you, church, don't starve this week. How do I not starve? Let me give you a couple really easy options. Start in the Psalms and just read a psalm and soak on it. Let it sit there and go, God, what is this? And that is spiritual food for you. Jesus told Satan, you know what? There's something more important than physical bread. It's God's word. There's other ways. I'm just a pastor. There are lots of pastors who teach the word of God. You should have a steady diet of sermons during the week. And I know at this point, if you're new to church, you're like, that's crazy. Church is just for Sundays. No, church is for every day. Christianity is for every day. You should be having a healthy diet of sermons. I listen to a healthy diet of sermons during the week. It's because you're a pastor. No, it's because I need it. Because you don't want to see me irritable. My wife and my children see me irritable. And dad is no fun when he is not spiritually fed. Be spiritually fed. Our radio station, every 30 minutes, there's someone teaching the Word of God every 30 minutes. And the other 30 minutes, there's worship. So you're only, at most, 30 minutes away from the next Bible study. Some are local pastors, and some are further away. But it's all from the Word of God. Do not starve this week. I pray you come in rubbing your bellies on Sunday morning, next Sunday going, oh, I feel so good. I'm okay. I can eat more, though. It's fine. Like, I'm not, like, that's the cool thing about spiritual food. You can keep taking it. And it doesn't affect your figure in a bad way. Like, you can, in fact, it improves your figure. Like, you look spiritually awesome as you eat God's word. What an awesome food, right? No drawbacks. Like, just eat all you want. Could you imagine what heaven's going to be like as we're there feasting with the Lord? Soaking in who He is? Coming soon, church. It's coming soon. Worship team's going to come on up. Let's bow our heads and please agree with me in a prayer as we pray. Friends, I just want to say, if you're struggling in that place, you're struggling with that, I just find myself defaulting to being anxious over the next 5 days, 20 days, 3 years, 30 years. God's taking care of that for you. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to be anxious one moment about anything. He wants you to just pray about today. So in the quiet of your heart, think about your day. Think about the things that have been troubling you recently, the things that you brought into this day. Maybe you didn't meet with the Lord this morning, so you kind of started off kind of rough. Think about those things, and now don't just think about them. Ask God to help not just you. Ask God to help everyone that's challenged in the same way that you are. Ask God to help them. Ask God to remind you tomorrow morning to feast on His word. Ask God to remind you tonight that tonight affects your tomorrow. Ask God to remind you to choose carefully what you do tonight so that you can start tomorrow with Him. And the day after, and the day after. Father, Daddy, thank you that you know what we need. Forgive us, forgive me for looking at some of the things you've given me and looking at them and thinking of them as junk. Oh, how wrong I am. God, thank you that you have blessed me and you have blessed us with so many things. You've taken care of all of our needs and you promise that you will. God, that we would be grateful. Lord, I pray that we as a people, in our abundance, when we come into seasons of abundance, that we would not be stingy or greedy, but that we would look out around us at people in need, and we would have your heart, a heart of generosity and love and compassion. And God, we pray that as we show these acts of kindness and Christ-likeness, that people would be drawn to you. God, that you would be glorified in our lives above all else. We pray this, Father, in your Son's name, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,